Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Rob Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLI Radio and Cowboy Wisdom Innovation Coaching. Tonight, we're going to talk about getting in the zone with Kathleen Hagberg. And she's also the author, but she's also got other books. But you can go to their website, gettingintothezone.com. And look up their products and services. Without any further to do, I'm gonna bring Kathleen on. She's a very wise, spiritual, energizing goddess to open your eyes to your enterprising wife. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you, Robert. I'm happy to be here.
And now let's go right into it. You can get to getting into the zone on the website or Amazon.com. But I'm on your website, and there was something right at the beginning. This is what I really wanted to talk about. If baseball and softball are 80 to 90% mental, shouldn't someone be teaching our young players to master the mental part of the game? How is it that we shouldn't even also be teaching our kids and the parents today how to master the mental part of their game?
Absolutely. That was the whole point of the book is, I think all of us, whether you're an adult or a child, you are brought up and there's conditioning, and good or bad, it could be teachers, coaches, parents who, you know, tell their kids to find something to fall back on or not to go after their dreams, or because nobody told them to do so. And none of them actually realize that they're writing their own script, their own story. And that's what the book is about, is that the game changer is at any moment in your life, you could stop, pause, and rewrite how you want the story to go. It's like an interactive storybook, your life. And that said, depending on how positive or negative your parents are or your teachers or whatever, you know, kids grow up and they get told or judged by, you know, their grades or comments that people make. Some of them don't buy into it, but some of them do. And so it's not really the most talented individual that makes it. It's the one who can ignore the peanut gallery. And that's,
you know,
what
it really
does.
Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, you didn't interrupt me. Go ahead, Robert.
It really comes down to the person that listens to themselves and not other people.
Absolutely. And it took me a while to do so. My co-author is my son, who's 24 years old, and he's managed to go from T-ball to professional baseball. And, but those are the demons that kids and adults battle, is the voice in their head of the one comment that the one coach in, you know, kickball in grade 4 said to them, you need to sit on the sidelines, or no, this is not for you, or whatever. Whatever it was, if that sticks with them, it may not be true or not. It probably isn't. It's some other person's opinion. If they buy into that, they carry it with them. This is just a step-by-step, not wordy, not lecturing, talking them to death book of how you bring yourself back to where you can rewrite your story. And we were hoping that kids would take this book and put it in their gym bag and read it and do the exercises and realize that, yes, you can have, do, or be anything.
And, you know, it isn't so much you can, it's trusting your abilities to do it is where it comes, don't you feel, Kathleen?
Absolutely. You know, it's about having faith in what your desire is, but people are afraid, they're afraid to dream or say, this is what I want to do, but I'm too scared to go for it because other people told me it's not possible.
Well, you know, it isn't that they're afraid to dream. They're afraid to talk to their dreams because parents, well, I grew up in a farming country, and my parents went through the 30s.
Right.
And,
oh, well, okay.
And they really never learned how to dream, but yet they were smart enough and they had to manufacture an imagination to get through it because they didn't have money, so they had to do it. But they looked at it like a negative, and if they had expanded on that, they would have been the most innovative people in the world, I feel.
Absolutely. And I'm not knocking my parents or, I mean, you know, you are where you are because of where you came from, absolutely. But I think it's, you know, our parents get conditioned and then they condition us. And somebody has to step out of the framework or outside the box and say, no, I don't want to be an accountant because it's safe. I like art. And when that happens, things evolve.
Now, here's something. You just hit something. How do schools disallow real creative arts where they don't judge, they just let kids build? How's taking that out of the school system actually stolen the dreams of the children?
The one chapter of our book is like, I wish they wouldn't put X's on wrong answers on, you know, on kids' papers. It's all negatively based, especially when it's an essay question where the kid gets to express his feelings. When the teacher puts an X on it, it immediately becomes negative, and it is their opinion. And you know, we assume they're in, you know, because they're older, they're in authority, but it doesn't mean that they're linked into what this kid's all about. And that's the sad part that...
You know, you just hit something that's very profound, and I really want to highlight this for people, Kathleen. Basically, the teacher has the answer and wants everybody to think the way they do. Wouldn't you say that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not criticizing teachers because I think we all, you know, we all think one way, but it's, do you have an open mind? And if the teacher doesn't have an open mind, you could have Steve Jobs or Bill Gates in front of you and not notice them because you have your labeling of what is right or wrong or good or bad or correct. And those people, and obviously those people go on and make their own way anyway, but our system didn't make it easy for them, that's for sure. And maybe that's a good thing, I don't know.
You know, here's something I know that I say a lot in my hypnotherapy and stuff. Everything I know is my limitation.
Right.
And you know, and everything we know right now, aren't we just in today, if you read and look and pay attention, aren't we just rehashing the same stuff we rehashed while we're in the presidential year, same rehashing what we did 4 years ago?
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's the thing, as an individual, I mean, I think we all have the same struggles. Nobody's like bulletproof, but that's what I try to say is, what can I do differently today? Nobody can control that but you. You can change one thing today that will make a huge difference in your life if you are willing to change something. And nobody can control that. Not the government, not you changing your routine or your ideas or anything that you want to change today is all within your power. But it depends on what your story is. If you've decided that other people are in control and you have no control over everything, then you're going to feel hopeless. But if you decide, I'm going to change one thing tonight, you know what? It could be what you had for lunch, something simple, but one little change in somebody's routine can change everything.
And that is absolutely true. And, you know, you said something earlier, and I really wanted to, I really desired to bring that out. You said how one word, you know, wisdom and life-expanding phrases is usually one to two words.
Right.
That open you up. And I just wanted to comment on you for saying that. Wisdom doesn't come in a big bundle. It comes in a word that opens you up, and then the wisdom comes from within, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. And it goes both ways. That's what I guess the point was with kids. It's like one word, like, I guess choose your words carefully when you are raising a child, because you can make or break them by one word. And, you know, because you're not in control of yourself, you could say something like, oh, well, that's never going to happen. And it's casual. It's in the heat of the moment. You're busy. You're working. Your wife's working. But that kid absorbs that and says, and only remembers that's never going to happen. And some kids carry it with them forever. Some, it bounces off them. And those, you know what, the ones it bounces off of it are the ones that go on and do great things, because they don't worry about what other people are saying, thinking, or doing. But if they have someone that they respect saying it to them, or a teacher who they were taught to respect say, no, you should go in this class because you're not good enough, some of them carry it forever. And it's imaginary. It's just somebody's opinion. They're not experts. They're not the powers that be. But if a kid perceives it that way, it's a game changer.
And, you know, that's the thing. And when people, but a lot of times if people don't understand, people they're talking with have an underlying motive is to make you fail so they look good in their egotistical area.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the whole thing, is even the part of our book is, you know, if you let your ego take over, you don't lose. And that little devil on the one side of your shoulder is going to tell you what you've heard all your life, and then the one you're trying to cultivate gets silenced if you let it. And, I think this book was for kids, but I think all of us struggle with that. I don't think anybody's immune to that.
And, you know, even as old as I am, I'm not immune to it.
Nobody is. I don't think anybody is. I think everybody has an Achilles heel that they replay in their head, and you work on it, and you work on it. You know, and that's true. Everybody has a thing. For some, it's, you know, devastating, like life-threatening. And for other people, it's just that a constant annoyance in their life that pecks at them until they get so mad that they want to change it.
And see, you know, that's the thing. They want to expand out and through. The call-in number to talk with Kathleen is 718-305-6548. Kathleen, I read your tweet about parents and kids, and now I'm going to ask a question I was waiting for you. How is the inner cities of the world prisons with roads through it for the people that live in there?
In the inner cities?
The inner cities. They're like a prison with roads out. People are afraid to leave them because they don't know what's on the outside.
Yeah, you know what? I think I don't see any difference between the inner cities. I mean, the inner cities is a prison, but then the affluent are in their own prison as well, because the only thing they know has to be purchased. So that's a prison as well. Their kids don't have a connection with them. I don't see any difference between the rich and the inner city, to tell you the truth, because I think the more money you have, the more mistakes you can make.
Well, it isn't only that. I think the more closed in you become, the wealthier you become, because you have a fear of losing everything you have. And when you close yourself in, Kathleen, you have lost everything you ever had.
Well, you know, you become a prisoner to whatever you decide to worship that really doesn't have any meaning in reality. There's nothing spiritual about it. It's the keeping up with the Joneses or the, you know what, the inner city kids, they may be better off because they're hungrier.
But, you know, I think they actually have more talent than they ever dreamed of, too.
The inner city?
Yes.
Well, you know what? Absolutely, they have to. And I think the affluent have talent, too, but they just never get to explore it.
I think they're afraid to show it because of what other people say. And it shows a human side. And in business today, you cannot show a human side. Do you feel that, Kathleen?
I'm all about showing a human side in business. I think it's all about engaging with people and making connections. I can't agree with that. I think it's about relationships and engaging, and I think people are screaming for that.
You know, you just said the key word. See, there's about six words I use a lot, and that's engage, expand, energize, enterprise, and experience.
Right.
And you just said the key word for me is engage. You got to engage in your inner self and trust your canonized abilities to move forward. And how does getting in the zone actually allow people to tap into their own abilities to trust themselves?
Well, you know, I think, like, I don't know about you, Robert, but when I grew up, it's like your parents are like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you know what? No matter what you do, like, parents should change that to what do you want to experience in your life? I love the movie The Bucket List, and I think parents should have their kids make a bucket list from day one. What do you want to experience in your life? Because you know what? They make the job or the what you do for a living the focal point, and it really isn't. It's just an experience. That's how you pay your bills and feed your family or support yourself. But people have dreams, and, I mean, I've met a lot of artists, and it's just like that's what makes them tick. The other stuff is food, water, housing. We've, like, made that the big to-do, and that's just, providing for yourself. But the other stuff is the icing on the cake, and that's what we should promote. Like, what turns you on, and what do you want to do? And it's just an experience. The greatest thing I've done in my life is my kids and my husband. I've done a lot of other stuff, and I've gotten trophies and awards and et cetera, but those are just blips on the radar screen. And my son will tell you now that playing professional baseball is just a blip on the radar screen. It's like, I wanted to see if I could do it. I went for it. I got it. But it's not the end all. It's just an experience that I wanted to have, that I had. But it's in the ultimate schemes of things is, who did you love and who loved you? I think everybody, if they thought about it, that would be their ultimate bucket.
You know, you just hit something for professional athletes. They think it's a way of life for the rest of their life than a temporary experience they have the talent to enjoy. And how would it if they start looking at it as a temporary, well, as an experience, and they get to do what they love rather than something and the prestige of it?
Well, they have a shelf life, and eventually they all put the ball down. And then what? If that's who you are, and it doesn't matter if you're an athlete or anything, if what you do for a living is who you are, you're going to have problems if you get laid off or if you get, if you keep identifying with that, you're going to have a lot of moments of unhappiness because you've forgotten who you are. This is just providing for your family. If you love what you do for a living and you provide, great. That's the perfect scenario. Loving what you do because it's play, not work. But eventually you have to put the ball down. It happens to everyone. And what are you going to do then? So if you haven't built up the spiritual fortitude to be welcoming the next chapter or the next bucket on your list, then you're going to have stress.
You know, you said something a little earlier about what next time somebody asks me if I had to do it all over again, what are you going to be when I grow up? A kid and never grow up. I'm just going to expand through experiences.
That'd be awesome. But, you know, we're raised by parents who, I know my parents came through the Depression. And so they have their view of the world. And then, you know, I decided, I want to step out of that comfort zone and explore other things. And that works for me. But what I'm saying, people do what works for them. So they did what they knew to do and at the time. So I'm not criticizing. But what I'm saying is if you want to try something, that's just put that in the category of things I want to experience. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You can be an athlete, but then take on a new career and be a great parent, and that's your next role. And then from there, go on and do what you're doing, Robert, uplifting people. And it's just you just go from one blip to the next, and none of them are in entirety who you are. They're just experiences that you've had throughout your life. And I think if you look at it in that way, it's never life or death. It's just enjoying the moment that you're in at the moment.
You know, I noticed getting into the zone, they have one thing. And when I wrote The Wisdom of Cowboy, you guys had a workbook, but at the end of every chapter, I wrote questions at the end of every paragraph. When you can get people into a train of thought and then hit them with a question, you can really get in to what's ever blocking them. And
right.
I see you've got a workbook on this, on getting into the zone. How does that workbook actually make them have to open up a new way to experience their daily life by doing the questions in the workbook and reading Getting Into the Zone?
Well, I mean, the first thing is, I mean, this is the hardest part for you with your cowboy wisdom and for us, is to opening people up to anything's possible. And that's the hardest thing, to change someone's mind is harder than probably anything you could possibly have to change. And ideas are powerful. But our whole book is about getting the kid to realize that everybody has their own life story, but you're writing it. And your parents might not have told you that yet, and the teachers have not told you that yet, but the truth is, you are the author of your own story. So the workbook starts taking them through step by step is how to, if you don't like how your life's going or you're not happy with what's going on, you are writing the script. So we take them through the rewrite of their story. Rewrite it however you want it, and yes, you can make edits later on. New characters coming go into your life, new experiences that you want to pursue. That's fine. But what happens is, you know, picture the 16-year-old kid with his headphones on, living in his parents' house, sleeping half the day, and the parents complain. But they think the kid's lazy. He's not lazy. He just doesn't know where he's going. So this gives him an outline or a format to outline what do you like to, like, if we could wave our magic wand and you could do anything, write your story, how it would go. And there's, you know, there's no pressure there because you can rewrite at any time, but write the story with no fear of, if you could experience anything, what would you want to experience in your life for the next, you know, in the next 10 years? So it gives them an outline to organize their thoughts with no fear of failure. You're the author. You're writing the story. Write it the way you want it. And then we give them the exercises to buy into their own story.
And see, you know, kids today, do parents take their time to teach them? Because it's such a video game time, they let the video games babysit them from such a young age. Do you think that kind of could be some of the challenge?
My husband and I, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm writing another book now, The 10 Commandments of Parenting, and the one thing in it is, if you're not having a meal with your kids every single day, a family meal, you don't even know what's going on. Because that's when you get all the dirt. That's when you learn what's going on. That's when you know if the kid's getting bullied. That's when you know if, when you sit down at a meal with your kids religiously and you start the conversation, like my husband, for instance, would say, oh, my God, this is the funniest thing that happened to me today at work. And he'll tell the story, and they'll all be falling off the chairs. And then eventually the kids will say, oh, my God, this happened to me. And it just snowballs because there's no judgment. It's just a fun dinner time. So it's the one little tiny thing that families can do. If you're having a family meal on a daily basis, you will not be blindsided by your kids. I absolutely guarantee that. You will know what's going on. You will know what they're thinking. You will feel their emotions. As long as you're not judging, you're just enjoying and having a meal and a conversation like you would with your friends. That's the number one thing that I know we did right is we always had a meal. We never missed a day. Even with sports and whatever, if it got heavy with sports, we found a breakfast place where we go all together and have a meal together. So that's like the big key, because your kids will tell you what's going on if you create the venue for it.
You know, you just touched on something that I actually wrote this in a book. You know, since we've become a 7-day-a-week country, everything's open and it's all about commerce. You know, when I grew up, we used to go to church, have a Sunday meal before we could even do anything on our own.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's huge.
It is. But, I mean, how do you think from that really has hurt the country, Kathleen?
Well,
and the world
schedule. Yeah. I think you got, like, not to judge, you know, I think the parents are trying to figure out, they're like backtracking, trying to figure out their lives. So therefore, they don't have the time or the insight to realize, I'm writing on this kid's blackboard. You know, and, you know, it's sad. And if they grew up in a house, like you grew up in a house that had meals, I did as well, and I made that the focal point of our lives. I knew it was huge only because there was dialogue. You're not going to
Yeah, I absolutely do. Kathleen, the book is called Getting in the Zone at gettinginthezone.com or it's on amazon.com, and you can go to Kathleen Hagberg on Twitter, Facebook, and follow her. But it's Getting into the Zone on amazon.com or gettinginthezone.com. Go to Products and Services, and you can click on it, and the book will drop out. And it's also got a workbook. This book will energize your whys and open your canonized abilities to trust yourself.
Thank you, Robert.
And Kathleen, I'll have Kathleen back in the future. And I want to thank Kathleen and all the guests, all the listeners for being on the show. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, Robert. It was fun.
We'll do it again. And thank everybody we will. Trust me. I like this conversation because what we did on this show, if people were listening, we just started outlining the challenges. Before we're done, we're going to give you solid, energizing energy to move your life forward.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, and everybody, good night. We'll be here Thursday night to do this all over again. Anyway, and good night. Thank you, Kathleen, and all the guests.
Thank you, Robert. Good night.
You betcha. Good night.